This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We continue our study through 1 Peter. And Peter had been talking about the fact that we needed to understand as believers that we live in a world that's hostile towards God. And because we do, we will endure hardship. And we live in a world that's tainted by sin, and because of that, the impact of sin in the, can touch even the believers' lives. And he shared with us, as we looked on Sunday afternoon, the fact that we need to be willing to suffer for Christ, but to have an attitude of a willingness to suffer for righteousness' sake, and not because we are walking in sin and rebellion against God. Well, he wants to build on that thought in this evening's passage. And beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, he brings back the example of Jesus. He says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should have the rest of his time in the flesh, in the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lasciviousness, lusts, excesses of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them at the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. When shall ye, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this evening through your word. Help us understand the message that you have for us and how that we are to seek to walk in righteousness and holiness. You've delivered us from this world, and help us not to be drawn back to it. Lord, help us not to yield to the naysaying and hatred that people would have for you and how they take it out on your people. But help us to stand strong against the schemes and wiles of Satan. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, Peter is saying here, we need to remember Jesus. Why? What did Jesus do when he came? As Peter opens up this particular portion of his letter, he says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise." What does he mean, arm ourselves likewise? None of us can take on the sins of another, but we can stand for truth, even in the midst of persecution. And Jesus stood for the ultimate truth, the fact that God is who God says He is, that He is Creator, that the world stands accountable to Him, and that the world has no hope unless He would come and redeem the world. And as we saw earlier in Peter's letter, he said he was without sin, became sin. And Jesus, who was without sin, went to the cross on our behalf. And as he says here, then Christ suffered for us. So likewise, have the same mind as Christ, in that we stand for truth and we stand for God and we stand for righteousness, even though it means that we may have to suffer. He says, "Arm yourselves likewise in the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Now, this is speaking of what our attitude needs to be towards a world and a world that is filled with sin. We are to seek to cease from sinning, to cease from rebelling to God because of what Jesus has done for us and the fact that He purchased us out of this world. Why would we want to continue to walk in the things of this world? And he's saying, just as Christ did not sin, and he suffered when it came to going to the cross on our behalf, likewise, we should be willing to cease from sin as well. And that means that when the temptations come, we need to ask God, give us the strength to resist, give us the strength to turn from them, and help us not to be caught up in them. Now, he's going to tell us one of the things that Satan wants to do and will often do is he'll get people that you used to know, and maybe you used to, depending on the word that you use at the time. My mother-in-law, when she was young, they said they jumped together. When I was a kid, we ran together. I don't know what it is today, but every generation has a word of hanging out together and spending time. And before you became a Christian, there were a certain type of people that you spent your time with. Why? Because you were drawn to like-minded things, and there were things that were really oftentimes against God, and things that appealed to your flesh, appealed to your sin nature. And guess what? Satan is going to bring some of those people back into your life to try and tempt you to come back and join them again, and get involved in that stuff again. And he's saying, don't do it, but rather cease from sin. And he says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That we, as believers in Christ, when we have been delivered from our sin, our whole direction and purpose should be to live for the will of God. What is the will of God? Well, the will of God is He desired so much to deliver us from sin that He took on the form of a man, came and paid, He was without sin, paid the penalty for our sin. And then when He did that, He gave us His Holy Spirit that we would know how to walk in obedience to Him. He gives us all the tools to do that, and we need to take advantage of that and walk according to the will of God. The will of God is that every believer in Jesus Christ grow and mature daily in their faith. Peter's been talking about that from the beginning of this letter. He talked about our position in Christ, the promises that we have in Christ, the fact that you and I are no longer babies in Christ, but we are to be those who are maturing in our faith, growing in our character, becoming more like Christ, and desiring to serve Him. That is the will of God for every Christian. And we've talked about this, I shared a little bit on Sunday afternoon about the fact that God desires that all men and women grow in their walk with the Lord, mature in their character and faith, and that every one of us will be a beaming light to a world that's in darkness as we reflect the character of Jesus in our lives. And that's what he's saying here. That is the will of God, that you and I walk with Jesus. You know, we're in the adult Sunday school class. We're currently going through the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah was bringing a message to the nation of Israel. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us that we're to learn from the examples of Scripture, and we're to learn from the things, the mistakes, as well as the successes that God's people have had. One of the things that the nation of Israel did is they forgot their calling that God had placed on their life. He had called them to be a different people. He set them apart from the world. He called them out of a world system that was reflecting the total rebellion that had always been there, that Satan had implanted in the hearts of men through his deceitful lies, and men rejoiced in receiving them and rebelling against God. And God called Israel out of Egypt, out of a world system that was in rebellion to God. And he said that they were to be an example to the world of how he would work in not only a nation, but in people. The problem is, the nation of Israel always forgot. And when they forgot, they would turn back to that from which they had been delivered. Peter refers to a proverb later on in his letter about the fact that a dog always will return to its vomit. And if you've ever had a dog, that's one of the disgusting things that dogs do. They oftentimes will throw up, and then they'll go and eat their throw up. And you go, that is so disgusting. But we do it as people. When we're delivered from a wicked, evil, sinful world, and then we go back and want to indulge in it. And I remember my daughter brought her dog. She had a dog for a very short period of time. And she brought him to our house one day. And I don't know what it is with dogs, but dogs like to find the smelliest spot in the yard and the smelliest and most disgusting stuff, and they like to roll in it. And I was taking it for a walk, and all of a sudden, the dog just got really hard to handle, and it went down and started rolling like crazy on the grass, and all of a sudden it smelled horrible. And my daughter and son-in-law were getting ready to go back home, and they had to have a smelly dog with them. But why would you say, why would a dog do that? Well, why do people, when they've been delivered from their sin, go back and roll in it? And desire to do the things that God delivered them from. And that's what Peter's saying here. Don't do it. But Satan wants to tempt you to do it. Why? Because not only does he, when you do that, make you ineffective in your witness, but also he is mocking the power of God by having God's people really reject God's authority and power. And so he's saying here, walk in righteousness, walk according to the will of God, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. He's saying you've had your moment of sin before you came to Christ. What were you doing before you came to Jesus? The will of the Gentiles. You were being influenced by a world system that was in rebellion to God. You were doing things that pleased the world. He said you had that time. You've been delivered from that time. Don't return to that time. Now, one of the things that you see happening as the church becomes less powerful, it's when it returns and embraces world systems that really aren't of the Lord. And that causes us to lose our authority and power in Christ. And he says, you've had that time in the past when we walked in what were the characteristics? What are the characteristics of the world? Lasciviousness, that's open, wanton sin. Lusts. Lusting is a desire to have that which isn't yours and longing for it when it's not rightfully yours and doing whatever it takes to gain what your lust has. Whether it's of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life, you want it when it's not yours to have. That's a mark of the flesh. He says, excesses of wine. That's drinking and becoming influenced by drugs and alcohol. That's a way that the world deals with the struggles that they're going through. The Bible tells us, and Peter just got done saying, we're going to suffer. But what are we to do when suffering comes, when difficulties come, when we face problems in our life? Are we to go drink or take drugs to just bury the pain and to cause our minds to be emptied? No, we're to turn to Jesus and call on the name of the Lord. And he says, you used to do that. You used to relieve the pain in your life. You just try to empty your mind and through drugs and alcohol. Don't do that. Revelings. That's unruly partying. Banquetings. That's drunken orgies. And abominable idolatries. Placing other things as God in your life to direct your life and give you purpose and meaning. You start doing those things, that's what the will of the Gentiles is. That's what the will of Satan is that we do all of those things, that we live our life that way. Now, what he's saying is, because he used to do this and be involved with those things and in different levels, and people always say, well, I'm not so bad because I can always find somebody that's more wicked than me, and so I'm pretty good, really. No, the comparison isn't between you and other people. The comparison is between you and God. And apart from walking in Jesus Christ and being given a new spirit and having the power of God's Spirit in our life, all of us, to one degree or another, are involved in this type of lifestyle. Now, it may not be that we were out partying it up, but we were doing things in our mind, if we weren't actually doing with our body, that were involved in these types of actions. He's saying, let it go. Don't do it anymore, because that's the will of the world. Now, what does Satan say? And what does the world say? Wherein they think, who is they? They is those that used to be, you used to run with, or that you used to look to give you direction. Our daughter always says, my wife and I'd be talking, and we'd go, well, they, and she'd say, who are they? Who are they? And one day she came to us and she said, I know who they are. And they are the ones that are involved in a world system that's against God. That is they. And he says, and they think it's strange that ye run not with them. The world thinks, when the whole COVID thing came and you had people that were standing up and saying, I'm not giving up my freedoms, I'm not saying the church is non-essential, I'm not giving up my opportunity to worship, I'm not giving up my opportunity to serve God, I'm not going to believe in a world system that wants me to set aside all that is true and righteous and holy, I'm not going to do that. People said, you're really weird. And they would ridicule you, they get mad at you, because you wouldn't do what they were doing. And they'd want to try and pressure you to do it. Well, it's not just during the age of COVID in the last a couple of years ago, but it's every day at different degrees. If you don't do what the world does, if you don't laugh at the dirty jokes, if you don't just cheat a little bit, if you don't do what they want you to do, they can't figure out what's wrong with you. Because everybody does it. Everybody does not do it. Those who love Jesus live a totally different lifestyle. And Peter tells us where to do that. Wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, to the same excess of rebellion and wickedness and evil. Speaking, and they in turn speak evil of you. And that's what he was saying, the whole point of what he earlier said in our talk on Wednesday, or on Sunday rather, that there are times when you're persecuted, but it's persecuted because you're living your righteous and holy life, and the world comes against that, because not only it does not understand you, but it makes them look bad. I have heard of guys, for example, in the construction community, oftentimes you have people that want to be a little slothful, and they want to be a little slow, and they don't really want to work hard. And then you get somebody that comes in and they've got a good attitude. They want to do the best job they can. And so they're working really hard. And so the guy will pull them apart and he'll say, hey, you got to slow down. You're making us look bad. That's kind of what it is with people that are righteous and holy and walking with the Lord. And we aren't drawn to wickedness and evil. We have true love in our hearts. We have true peace in our hearts. We have true joy in our lives. And people come to us and say, hey, You gotta live a little different. You're making me look bad. Well, who are you making them look bad to? Number one, it brings conviction on them because they know that they're doing what they're doing is wrong. And secondly, it shows the world that there is a much different way that God has delivered us to live, and that is the way of righteousness. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? He's saying that there is an accountability that's given, and that is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will judge the living and the dead. He will judge those who are whose names are written in the book of life, and he will also judge those that are going to be condemned to an eternal damnation. And the point is, we get to choose which book we want to written in. Are you going to be the quick, that is the living, Or are you going to be part of the group that's the dead, the ones that are condemned to eternal damnation in the lake of fire? He's saying Jesus is coming. He's going to judge. He's given you as a believer the ability to have been set free from this. And he's set you free from that world system. And he's brought you into the life, the newness of life that's found in him. And he will judge those that want to continue in rebellion and death. And when they try and drag you back, remember, their day of judgment and accountability is coming. And why would you want to give them any time in your life when it would to join them in marching towards that moment where they hear, "Depart from me, for I never knew you"? We never want to hear those words, but we want to hear, "Enter into my presence," and because he's pleased with us. And so he goes on, he says, "Who shall give account?" All of us shall give account to him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached. What was the cause that the gospel was preached? To deliver men from sin, because the day of judgment is coming, and God desired that no man would spend eternity in hell. And that is why the gospel is preached, so that men can be set free and give their hearts to Christ. And so he's saying, for this cause was the gospel preached. That is the cause. Also to them that are dead. Also to those that are spiritually dead. I once heard a man say, do you realize that as you go out on the streets, most, you know, you've heard of people say, oh, the walking dead, and they're often talking about zombies. But the thing is, there is real zombies. The real zombies are spiritually dead people. They may be physically breathing. They may be able to communicate and talk to you. They may be able to function and do a job, but spiritually, they're dead. It's already as if they have heard the words, "Depart from me," because when they have rejected Christ and refused to receive him, they are dead. But there's no one who would be spiritually alive today unless the gospel had been preached. Unless the good news had come to man, that Jesus had come to set men free, and the means of salvation had been explained. If we don't explain it to others, who will? And the whole point of the gospel is it's preached to all those. Every Christian was once, before he became a Christian, a spiritually dead man or a dead woman. They didn't know Jesus. But because of the gospel, they do today. And they're a different person. You and I are a new creature in Christ, not because of what we've done, not because we picked ourselves up by the bootstraps, but rather it's because Jesus came into our heart and transformed our lives, gave us a new mind, a new heart, a new direction, a new purpose, a new meaning, but most of all, a new love. And the love was for Jesus Christ, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, and the one who has come to be with us eternally. And he says, "For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." What was the purpose of the gospel preached? Well, he says, in the flesh, men judge you. In the flesh, men look at you, and they sometimes, as he said earlier, they condemn those who are Christians. They ridicule those who are Christians. They speak evil of those who are Christians. And so they're judging you when you're walking in the flesh, but you're going to be spiritually judged for the difference in your life. And he's saying, for that purpose the gospel came and was preached to those that were spiritually dead, that they could be transformed and they wouldn't just be judged according to the flesh, which could be a faulty judgment, especially when it's a judgment being made by those that are dead. And if we are alive in Christ, we're spiritually alive, and we shall be judged spiritually as being those who are Christ's. And so he's saying that's the purpose of the gospel. And the gospel has come to be preached to all men. It's God said that he's not a respecter of persons. He desires that all men should be saved. Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the penalty for everyone's sins. But the gospel is to be preached that man might receive the good news and accept Christ in their life, and get the free gift of salvation, which is there for all men to receive. We're told not to go and say, well, that person deserves to hear, and that person doesn't deserve to hear, and that person deserves to hear. No. We're to go and preach the gospel. Because we don't know the hearts of men. We don't know how God is convicting men to turn to Him. And we don't know those that would give their lives to Him. And we don't have the right to judge what God is doing in people's hearts and lives to bring them to Christ. And so we're to present the gospel that all men would have the opportunity to be saved. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. We thank you for giving us insight into the fact that we're to live as Christ lived, that He came and suffered for righteousness' sake, for the sake of redeeming us and giving to us His righteousness, and He took our sin upon Himself. We should be of the same mindset, that we're willing to go and share the gospel, even though those that we are sharing it with may ridicule and come against us, but we are to realize that we have the good news, the gospel that can set men free, and we are to take it wherever you would have us take it. Now, Lord, I pray that you would just give us opportunity to share with others the hope we have within us in the week ahead, and this we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to change the song and...